This is Money Talks.
We're back. You're listening to Money Talks. I'm Troy Harmon. I'm here with Casey Smith and DJ Barker. Anyway, guys, we do have, we're going to call this the situation.
That's right.
Nowadays, since Bill tells us that every time somebody says the unattractive word case study.
Careful, Troy. We're going to have to bleep that out.
I know. Yeah. We probably should. People immediately fall asleep. I apologize if you're driving, if you're sitting at a traffic light. Hey, wake up. It's right. Time to move on.
Damn, scared me.
All right. Wow, that was the intent.
Okay.
All right. So, guys, what do we got this week? Sounds like Grandpa's causing some trouble.
Yeah. He's in love.
Grandpa's in love. Grandpa's it's spring, love. You know.
It
spring
is
in the air.
That's right. People do some crazy things.
I guess, yeah. He's in love with a younger lady. She's only 64.
She's 64. He's 87.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a situation. We have a couple here, I guess, Lindsay and Mitchell, who are ages 55 and 53, respectively. Their grandpa, it might be that their actual father. I'm not sure, based on the way that this is presented.
I'd have to guess if they're 50.
The age difference would make it kind of tight to be the grandpa, although not completely implausible.
Never know. Right?
Yeah.
So the situation is that grandpa has about $12 million in assets. They also have a family-owned company that he is a 49% owner of. That value of that company is not included in the $12 million. So obviously they're a little concerned about the grandpa's new love interest being significantly younger than he is.
Relationship. She also has a bit of a history, right?
Yeah, she does.
On her third.
Yeah,
this will be number four.
This will be number four
if they get married.
Yes, yes. So also grandpa has been acting a little unusual lately. He's been not his normal conservative self, acting erratic and not necessarily taking his medication regularly and spending a lot more than he does.
That can be dangerous.
So there's a lot of potential problems here, I guess. The question is what do they need to do to protect themselves, meaning Lindsay and Mitchell, in terms of being able to make sure that the younger woman is not going to influence grandpa necessarily and basically cut them out of the picture from an inheritance standpoint. So
this is not something that we're absolutely new to. I think we've heard
this is
more
not
of these situations.
It's
definitely
not an uncommon situation. Yeah. We hear them quite frequently, and it's sort of a shame, and it just kind of illustrates the point that people need to be very careful about how they set up their estate plan and be clear about what their intentions are. Really, before you get into this situation is the biggest thing, because it's hard to go back and retroactively apply anything that once the wheels are set in motion.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing with what we're looking at now, right? I mean, he's now in love.
Yeah.
You go back to a situation where they confront him, that's going to be a potential problematic conversation to say, all right, we want to make sure that you have some things in place to protect the family assets. Be it the estate, the business, and or the inheritance.
Right.
Those are tough conversations to have when you have the love conversation.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So, well, I'm not sure. You sounded kind of like Barry White for a second. Hopefully that was unintentional.
If you look at this from an asset point of view, which we would probably recommend starting there, so trying to think about what are the assets that are at risk versus the ones that are not. The business is probably relatively safe. Grandpa's a minority owner.
49%
is still a large portion.
Doesn't have control.
He doesn't have control. There's probably documents that are in place for the business succession plan and such. Business is not as big of a concern, although it should definitely be reviewed, make sure that those articles of incorporation or the bylaws of the business are structured to.
Sure. And hopefully there's a buy-sell agreement in the middle of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it's clear on how partners come and go.
Right. Exactly. So I guess Lindsay and then her brother are both in the family. They're both kind of co-CEOs of the family business. So
okay.
They're not unfamiliar with the business. They have day-to-day operations that they're in it. So not some of the problems that you have where the heirs are a little bit unfamiliar with the business. So not so much a problem in this case. There's also a trust that Lindsay and her brother inherited from their late mother, which I assume was Grandpa's wife. So that trust is pretty protected. Not a whole lot that they can do. They're the final beneficiaries. The only problem with that is Grandpa is the trustee.
Yeah.
So there is some power that he has to control the distributions from the trust to some extent, although he can't really change the ultimate beneficiaries
right.
of the trust because it's irrevocable.
Right. He'll have to follow the letter of the law in
guidelines.
That regard, right?
Which is the important aspect of a trust. You set that up before. There's somewhat control for
sure.
this particular situation.
You know what? All these situations we're talking about, whether it be the trust situation or the buy-sell agreement in the business itself, if you think that things could potentially go wrong, and hey, trust me, they always could.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should probably plan ahead and make sure that there's some kind of a document that tells you exactly how things should be handled.
No, and we recommend that the clients, even if they're relatively familiar with their estate situation, that they have a review done at least every couple of years just to make sure that the intentions are clearly spelled out and that nothing has changed from the way that you set it in motion. Sometimes the documents are put together in a way that has a lot of legal jargon, and they're not that easy to read. Wills and trust documents and the like. So have somebody that you trust, whether it's a financial advisor or an estate planner, an attorney, read over that stuff and tell you what it says and make sure that aligns with what your wishes are.
Now we're talking about, as salacious as it sounds, it's Grandpa in love.
That's right, Grandpa in love.
Right.
And I really don't mean to poke fun at it. It's actually a serious situation. The reality is these things can cause a lot of strife in people's life. When you, I'm sure some listeners have probably dealt with situations that they wish they had more control over, and really the best way to do that is to kind of see if you can foresee these things coming.
Yeah, when money's involved, it can bring out the best of people or the absolute worst of
More
of
often
those.
Than not, it's the latter.
Yes.
Yeah, it's sad
we
to watch,
it.
Too.
It is unfortunate.
And we've watched too many of those situations. But, guys, y'all had a few more things that we want to cover before we leave the subject, so go for it.
Yeah, so what we want to really talk through, Casey, is Grandpa of sound mind? Do we need to worry about power of attorney? Do we worry about a trust? How do we move forward with figuring out next steps?
Yeah, absolutely. And those first two questions, if Grandpa's of sound mind or not, is important. Obviously, if he is, he's going to do what he wants to do. There's not a whole lot you can do about it. Lindsay and Mitchell in this case, or Lindsay, I guess, and her brother. Mitchell is her husband, so different person. But the Lindsay and her brother do have power of attorney on Grandpa. It doesn't say whether it's I guess it's springing, meaning that it only takes effect upon him becoming deemed incapacitated, which basically means that they got to go in front of a judge and have some documentation from doctors, and the judge has to declare that he is in fact incapacitated, and then they can utilize that power of attorney to kind of take over, for Grandpa in terms of his financial affairs.
So, guys, in your experience, is that a difficult task? Number one, it does sound like Grandpa might be offended at dealing with
it's
these.
It's definitely difficult.
And how much strange action has to occur? I think any of us probably who've been in love before understand that we don't act exactly sane sometimes and rational.
It can be problematic for sure. There's not a whole lot that can be done. I mean, that's why it's really important to kind of iron these things out before you get into a situation where you're, a marriage might be imminent or something like that. Because, up until the point that he is, that to the extent that he has capacity, then he's pretty much free to do whatever he wants with this money. It's his money. That being said, there are some trusts that can be used in this situation had they kind of pre-planned a little bit ahead of time. The first one is probably what would be recommended here, according to the estate planners that we talked to about this situation. It's called a Q-tip trust. So some people may be familiar with the AB trust or the bypass trust, or called a lot of different things. But
will this one help your hearing, or is it just my basic rudimentary understanding that's way wrong?
Yeah, not to be confused with the cotton swab on the end of a stick.
All right,
this is a qualified.
There we go.
Qualified terminable interest property trust.
Yeah.
So
me very little. But
yes.
Thank you for the clarification.
So essentially, what happens in a lot of cases is that they'll set up two trusts. One is called a bypass trust, and you'll put up to the estate tax exclusion amount. So we're talking about $5.45 million today as of 2017. Put that amount in the bypass trust so that you can take advantage of the estate tax exclusion amount. Put the remainder in a marital trust, which, you know, the bypass trust, the beneficiaries can be the children, the income, you know, the beneficiaries can really be anybody. That goes out of your estate. So you get that out of your estate and you use up your unified credit, $5.45 million, pass the remainder to the spouse, the surviving spouse, into this Q-tip trust. Usually it's a marital trust, which does not have the Q-tip election on it. So the executor of the will would have to elect to create the Q-tip trust and have the assets transferred in there. So the executor in this case becomes very important, because if it's, you know, the younger new wife is the executor, she might elect not to have the assets transfer into the Q-tip trust, because she could have them just paid directly to her, and they would get the marital exclusion, and everything would just go to her estate rather than the children. The important thing about the Q-tip trust that distinguishes it from the marital trust is that the surviving spouse doesn't have the ability to change the beneficiaries and really to invade the corpus to any major extent, meaning the principal of the trust.
Yeah, they're just receiving that income stream
from the trust. They just get the
income,
and then that's it. So it is included in their estate when they pass away. So the theory is that they would be able to use the remainder of their exclusion, the $5.45 million, to pass outside of, or, you know, get the credit on their estate tax, and then they would have to pay estate tax on everything above and beyond that. So
guys, I mean, you bring up a good point. Who should be the trustee on a trust? Not only this one, but in general, do you have, and don't answer obviously if this is too much of a legal question. I know neither of you are lawyers, but who do you normally recommend to be the trustee?
I mean, it is a tough question. A lot of times, the Q-tip is a very useful trust for a second marriage. When you've got children, probably from a previous marriage or something, where if it's the first marriage, you know, a lot of times the spouses are each other's trustee for these types of trusts. If it's just a normal marital trust, you know, that you can have your children be trustees, although it's you know, if you've got more than one, that can be problematic. Who's the
favorite, right? That's exactly. The conversation.
Exactly.
You got to pick one.
And it's hard to have co-trustees because you have to make a lot of the decisions together. And so it's a very personal question. It depends on what your situation is, family dynamic.
You know, we see friends, close friends of the family.
Trusted advisors. You know, you can't have a professional trustee. So there are companies that's what they do, is they manage trust for people. You know, we've had clients that have done that through, our legal department has acted as the trustee for a fee. We typically don't recommend that just because it can get kind of expensive and it's hard to have a professional trustee really know what the wishes are any better than somebody who's maybe in the family or at least a trusted person that kind of knew
the family dynamic.
Yeah. Exactly.
But for longevity's sake, I would assume that a trust company might be a better option if you assume that the trust is going to last multiple generations.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely not a bad option. It's just that, you know, there's going to be a fee associated with it, and so you just kind of have to weigh that out and figure out what your wishes are.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I know I'm here for comic relief and to talk about the stock market, but when it comes to things of this matter, that's where you want your financial planner to get involved. Y'all stick around. You're listening to Money Talks, and we'll be right back after we pay a few bills.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.